1070 is everywhere. On TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com. And in Houston, on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there, telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speaking their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. Every time we stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Welcome to A Show of Faith, where professor, priest, millennial, and rabbi discuss theology, philosophy, how they relate to the real world in which we all live. If you have any response to our topics or any comments regarding what we say, we would love to hear from you. Please email us at ashowoffaith@hotmail.com, ashowoffaith@hotmail.com. You can hear our shows again and again by listening pretty much anywhere podcasts are heard. Our priest is Father Mario Arroyo, pastor of St. Cyril of Alexandria in the 10,000 block of Westheimer.
Hello.
Professor David Capes is our Baptist minister. He is the director of the Lanier Theological Library. Maybe he's not on yet.
I'm here.
Oh, there he is. There he is.
Yeah.
Yes.
You said I wasn't here.
Well, because usually you come right in, but I didn't hear you. So.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yes. I just didn't know maybe if you've grown hard of hearing since I left.
What'd you say?
What? Never mind.
What?
Never mind.
And I've gotten worse, let me tell you. Rudy Kong is our millennial. He is a systems engineer and has his master's degree in theology from the University of St. Thomas. And I don't think he's on yet. I am Stuart Federer, Rabbi Emeritus. The rabbi retired from Congregation Sha'ar HaShalom, the Clear Lake area of Houston, Texas. Jim is our producer and engineer. Corey and Miranda are our board operators. And together, Jim and Miranda and Corey help us sound fantastic because we are.
Mucho bueno.
Yes, that too. And watch your language.
Today, I am in charge of the show. This is the Holy Father Mario. I am holy. Not because of my behavior, but because of God's indwelling that makes me holy, a tabernacle.
Mm-hmm.
So, today the title of our show is, What is Time For? What is time for?
Time, see what's become of me.
Okay. Okay. So, here is the issue. Actually, let me begin by quoting a song that...
I just did?
Yeah, but I would like to quote a song. I'm just going to play a little bit of it.
Okay.
Okay? Let me see. Okay, I'm going to play just a little bit of it.
Will we recognize it?
I don't know.
Mm-mm.
Okay, it's by Alabama. Okay, and I want you to listen to the chorus because this is kind of the theme for the show. Listen to the chorus.
Hello.
Things done. Rushing to life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
Great song. Good choice.
I have to drive so fast. My car has nothing to prove. It's not you. But it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2. I'm in a hurry to get things done. rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die. In a hurry and don't know why. Can't be late. I leave in plenty of time. Shaking hands with the clock. I can't stop. I'm on a roll and I'm ready to rock. Oh, I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die.
Hey, that's good. I thought that that song should be the
yes.
the introduction to us.
Right.
Because we're living in a society.
You know. Let me just say, that would have been perfect except for Stewart singing.
Hey.
Except for that. But I really
I love that song, though.
I couldn't hear the lyrics. I couldn't get the music.
You couldn't hear the lyrics?
Could you get the lyrics? You didn't get the lyrics?
No, I'm in a hurry to get things done.
Okay, listen, it goes like
I rush and rush until life's no fun. Yeah, all I really got to do is live and die.
Here it is. Let me do it. I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really got to do is live and die. All you got to do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry and I don't know why. Listen to
Can't
it.
Can't be like
drive so fast. My car has nothing to prove. It's not you, but it'll do 0 to 60 in 5.2. I'm in a hurry to get things done. Oh, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I really gotta do is live and die. But I'm in a hurry and don't know why.
Okay, that, did you get it this time?
Great song. You didn't know that song, David?
David?
Uh-oh.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we're having a bit of a storm out here. No, I knew the song. I just didn't want Stewart to sing. That was just, that was the thing. Okay.
So
anyway, it's a great song.
Smart Alec.
But, I mean, what about the lyrics? Because we live in a society that is constantly rushing. I still, one of my very good friends, Sister Rosalie Karstead, she is from Czech. She is of Czech and German, and I've been friends with Sister Rosalie for over 45 years. And the only thing we have ever fought about is Rosalie always wants to be on time and ahead of time and in a hurry. So she hasn't heard this song yet, but I'm going to play it for her, okay?
She might know it.
But the question is, what philosophy of time is that referring to? And why are we that way, and what way ought it to be? Why does that song ring true to most of us? You want to step in, David?
Yeah, I mean, I think because we are in a hurry to get things done. And we see virtue, we see busyness as a virtue. Just the fear, the simple fact that I'm busy, and that when people say, "Well, how you doing?" Well, I'm busy. Got all this going on. Is viewed by many as a virtue. I think that is a social pressure that we're on, and I think it's detrimental to us in so many ways. So, which is what the article was about, which is what it's time for. Brilliant article, by the way.
Yes, it was.
That talks about the beauty of leisure and understanding how that works. But yeah, I just think it's typical of our day, of our time, of the way that most people live their lives, which is sad.
What I would like to spend some time discussing is, first of all, the diagnostics of why our culture is a constant hurry and the differences between... It's interesting because, I'm... in a sense, in an interesting position to judge this, because I'm bicultural. I grew up in a Latin American household, and I've grown up in the United States. And let me give you an example. Whenever I'm late for something, and it's an American person that I'm late for, I always can pretty much bet not all the time, but pretty much bet that the person is going to interpret that's going to interpret my tardiness as being inconsiderate of their time. Okay? Now, even Stewart just shrugged.
Well,
but
think inconsiderate or just not well planned.
Not well planned, meaning you already are saying by not well planned, you're saying that is a deficient interpretation of how I'm behaving.
Right.
Because it's not well planned.
Yes.
Okay?
Right.
Now, it's interesting because when I was growing up in Cuba, I was taught the exact opposite. In Cuba, when I was growing up, what happened was that I was taught was that, for example, if somebody invited you to dinner, it was bad manners to arrive on time. Because the understanding is that you were supposed to be gracious enough to give your host and hostess extra time to prepare for your coming.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Now, that is the exact opposite of the understanding of time. In the United States, we talk about wasting time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And it's interesting because in Latin cultures, time is not in the foreground. See, even tonight, I was hurrying because I wanted to get here sometime before the radio station and have time to give you guys food.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, time, in an American context, time is in the foreground, and the relationship that you are in previously to the time that you have to be there. You know, for example, if I am visiting with somebody, okay, and I have to be at a particular place at a time, that relationship, I have to move out of that relationship and spend time getting to the next relationship on time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? That, when you put time in the front, the relationship itself moves to the back. And so the relationship is controlled by your preoccupation with time as the foreground. Okay? In Hispanic countries, it's the exact opposite. Time is in the background, and the present relationship in the foreground. You keep an eye on it, but you do not obsess over it. Okay? So that it is expected that that the time that is set for the meeting is not absolute, that it is around that time. And so you move gently from disconnecting from the previous relationship, disconnecting and connecting to the new one within a reasonable amount of time. But a reasonable time can be anywhere from 15 to 30 minutes to an hour.
Later.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. And I found out, it's interesting, because at first, I'm pastor at St. Cyril of Alexandria. Whenever I have an Anglo wedding, boom, on time. Whenever I have a Hispanic wedding, never on time. But you know who the worst ones are? The Africans. The Africans. The Nigerians. The Nigerians.
Because they're even later?
They're even later.
Wow.
Even later. Here's the point, though.
But wait a minute, you said worse a minute ago.
Worse in the sense of American judgment.
Of American judgment, okay.
Yeah.
But maybe they're better terms of...
It could be. But see, I'm presuming that our audience is chiefly American formed. And so I may have internalized some of it. I live with a constant struggle between the Hispanic side of me and I'm in a hurry to get things done. I rush until life's no fun. And what is it? I'm in a hurry.
All I really got to do is
live and die. And I really am there.
Right.
I'm really there. I am constantly, my consciousness is constantly on the, in Spanish, we would call them musarañas, the cobwebs. Okay? the philosophical and theological cobwebs to where the stuff I got to get to is in the back of my head. I'm constantly going, oh, God, who cares? I'm going to die anyway. And when I die, this is not going to be really important at all.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And so
figuring out what's important.
So when he said, all I got to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry and I don't know why, that makes a lot of sense to me. So comment just on the difference in cultures. Have you experienced the difference in cultures and you're dealing with people of other cultures? Did you know that there's a difference in culture? Why is it? It does, by the way, and I've heard this before, and I would like my Protestant brother here to comment on it. I hear that that's what's called the Protestant work ethic. And I would like that to have that explained, because as a Spaniard, I am of Spaniard descent, we do not work like that. In Spain, for example, you have lunch around 1 or 2, and then between 3 and 4, all the shops close, and people go home for a siesta.
And then do they actually nap?
They do.
Or do they have to work on something else?
I have no idea. Okay, we got to go to a break. But I'll come back to this. This is KNTH 1070, and we'll be right back.
The Big 1070 is everywhere on TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com, and in Houston on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Do you want to save money on your prescription medications? How would you like unlimited prescription refills for as little as $1 a day? Health VORX subscription plans is a home delivery subscription service. For about $1 a day, you can choose from up to 1,000 different generic prescriptions, and we'll send your 90-day prescriptions for about $1 a day with convenient free home delivery. We have most of the top generic prescription medications. Get your meds to treat erectile dysfunction, birth control, high cholesterol, high blood pressure, or diabetes. Call us right now. We'll coordinate getting your prescriptions with your doctor. Plus, we're cheaper than your copays and get the convenience of free home delivery. Call right now to get your medications delivered for free for about $1 a day.
800-818-9735. 800-818-9735. 800-818-9735. That's 800-818-9735.
I can't get my computer to work.
Let me help you with that.
How'd you do that? I just got techie with Geeks On Site.
Our geeks literally come on site. No need to stop what you're doing or block off time. We come to your home, office, or wherever you are. And we don't just fix whatever computer issues you might be having. We explain and teach you along the way.
We'll help you instantly. Call 800-837-3075. That's 800-837-3075.
Mike Gallagher sees only one way for DeSantis.
The strategy has to be, listen, I want to win. I want to beat Joe Biden. I support the MAGA movement. I support what Trump accomplished. I support his ideology. I just don't think he can win, but I can. That's the only way Ron DeSantis is going to be the nominee.
The Mike Gallagher Show, weekday mornings at 8 on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Johnny Angel. Johnny Angel. Johnny Angel.
You're an angel to me.
I only did that because David didn't want me to.
Johnny Angel, how I love him. How I tingle when he passes by. Every time he says hello, my heart begins to fly. Johnny Angel, how I want him. He's got something that I can't resist. But he doesn't even know that I exist. I'm in heaven, I get carried away. I dream of him and me, and how it's gonna be. All the fellas call me up for a date, but I just sit and wait. I'd rather concentrate on Johnny Angel, 'cause I love him, and I pray that someday he'll love me. and together we will see how lovely heaven will be. And together we will see how lovely heaven will be.
Welcome back to A Show of Faith on AM 1070, The Answer.
I forgot where I was.
We were talking about leisure in the article.
Yeah, but where, I forgot what
you
I
were about to ask David as they
probably were going to ask about the Protestant work ethic. Yes. You know, and punctuality is part of it. It's not the whole of it. I mean, it's there's a lot more to the Protestant work ethic, but than just the idea that, you know, you manage your time in a particular way, and that if you're scheduled to work at 8 o'clock, you show up at 8 o'clock, right? Or if you're scheduled to be done at 5, you're done at 5. So there's more to it than that, but it is the idea of punctuality is a part of it, I think, and it comes from a European point of view about time.
Do you think it comes from more
Northern European?
That's what I thought.
And British European kind of thinking than Spanish, Italian. I do know, and I've seen this before many times. Italians, a lot of times, people from the Middle East, people from Spain, operate and live in time in a little bit different way than the rest of us. And for those who are used to and expect, you know, punctuality, it's a bit frustrating, right?
Yes.
For that, yeah, it's frustrating.
It's frustrating, and it's frustrating for us who are of the Spanish heritage to constantly be expect. Now, we're in the United States, so we have to comply, but it to constantly live by the clock in such an exact way, that's very, very, it actually very is very, how should I say, it's stressful to know that people around you are upset at you because you were not right on time. I still remember many times I would start Mass, especially the 4 o'clock Saturday evening Mass, when the older people would come. And it was at 4 o'clock, and I would start it at 4:03, 4:04, 4:05, and oh my God, the dirty looks that I was getting were amazing. So it's just an interesting perspective. Now, the next part that I would like
Well, you know, let me just, I remember hearing a couple of years ago that the whole idea of being on time was a demonstration of whiteness. White culture.
Yeah, I don't think so.
You know, I just remember hearing that as many, you know, being, you know, having certain tendencies and proclivities, et cetera.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's because people who from African descent have a different relationship
I would argue, David, that that's not quite because. When I went to visit Spain, I've been in Spain twice, and when I went to visit Spain, one of the very first things that happened to me, and I knew it intellectually, was when I stepped off the plane, everybody was white. Okay, so in Spain, everybody is Caucasian. Okay, and so is in Italy, everybody is Caucasian. Okay, so it's not, I think it's, you were correct in saying that it's a Northern European issue, a Northern Anglo-Northern European German issue than the Southern. It's interesting because the way that when you come to the South itself seems to be much more relaxed than the North. I have no idea whether it has anything to do with weather or anything like that.
It may have to do with weather.
Yeah.
With the heat.
Stuart, I need comments.
Well, just that the Bible in Psalms explicitly tells us, so teach us to number our days that we may get us a heart of wisdom.
Yes.
That wisdom begins knowing that our time is limited and we need to fill it properly. So, and that includes our leisure time, that includes understanding that, you know,
and that's
what's
what
important.
Where I want to move next after we go on the break is the distinction between leisure and entertainment and fun, and to compare that with the spirit of the Sabbath. the spirit of the Sabbath.
Okay.
Okay? So this is 1070 KNTH, and we will be right back.
The Big 1070 is everywhere on TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com, and in Houston on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
You have all helped support MyPillow and their employees in these tough economic times. Mike Lindell knows this and continues to give back to his listeners with deals on his most popular products. You've heard me talk about My Slippers, the Giza Sheets, MyPillow 2.0, and more. Great news, the MyPillow 6-pack bath towel sets are back in stock. The proprietary technology makes him extremely absorbent, yet still provides that soft feel you look for in a towel. The set comes with 2 bath towels, 2 hand towels, and 2 washcloths. Regular price, $79.98. But for a limited time, you can get this 6-pack towel set for only $39.99 with the promo code KNTH. That's a 50% savings. Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-874-6540 and use the promo code KNTH to save 50% on MyPillow 6-pack towel sets. Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code KNTH.
Feel like you're trying to push a boulder uphill wearing skates? If you run or manage a local business today, you're challenged like never before. We get it, and we want to help. We're Salem Surround. We're a full-service marketing agency that'll help you increase your customer base by designing incredibly effective plans to reach your consumers day, night, and everywhere they might be.
If you're a local business and want to see what Salem Surround can do for you, Google Salem Surround Houston. Remember to Google Salem Surround Houston.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-978-0930. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-978-0930. That's 800-978-0930.
Dennis Prager isn't sure he recognizes his country.
University of Chicago reports that 30 million Americans believe violence is justified to keep Trump from the presidency. It's one out of every 10 of my fellow Americans. To think that I share this country with such people is difficult.
The Dennis Prager Show, weeknights at 10 on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Day.
Oh, a happy day. Day. When Jesus wore. Oh, when he wore. When Jesus wore. He washed my sins away.
Oh. Welcome back to A Show of Faith. I'm AM 1070 The Answer.
So let's make the transition here. What is the difference, for example, what is the difference between fun, entertainment, and leisure? And is there a theological
import?
And I would like to, you and I may disagree, but the Jewish interpretation of the Sabbath and what it's for, but the spirit of the Sabbath. So, David, you want to go first?
I think I do. I'm contemplating this whole idea. I think that we have a tendency to think of leisure primarily as just time off work. Here I have work, my job, my 40, 50, 60-hour week job. And when I get off work, then I can start my time of leisure. Now, that might be going to a movie with friends. That might be binge-watching a favorite TV show. That might be going out to dinner or something, those kind of things. All of which are good. None of which, I don't think there's anything wrong with those things. But I don't know that that comes up to the level of what I think theologically you're going to be getting at tonight, the idea of leisure. Because leisure is the way I've read about it in this week, as you described it, and as the article described it, takes us to our highest selves. It takes us to our highest order. Now, not work doesn't always do that. In fact, work could get in the way of those priorities. But we may choose a job that gives us status, but does not give us time with our family, even if we value family. We may choose a job that gives us money, so that we can do something with this money, but it doesn't mean necessarily that we're going to do the right thing with our money. So I see the idea of leisure, as we're going to talk about it tonight, as something that takes us to a higher level in our humanity, that causes us to seek greater things, that causes us to want to be a better human being at the end of the day, which may involve reading, it may involve study, it may involve learning another language, it may involve taking a musical instrument. I mean, one of the things that I do for leisure, in the way we're describing it tonight, is to play music and to deepen my understanding of whatever instrument I'm trying to learn at that time. Yeah. To me, that, although I'll probably never perform again, and as I did in the past, for other people, it still takes me to a different place, to a higher place in my own time. It makes me more aware of time in some ways. I don't know if that gets at what you're talking about here, Father.
Yeah, it does. It does. Stuart, you want to comment?
Well, I kind of go along with the idea of leisure as what we do when we're not working. How we spend that time can be learning a new skill, or it can be entertainment, it can be fun. I forgot your other words that you were asking us to distinguish between. But
Shabbat, I mean, you know.
Well, Shabbat is a chunk of time set apart from six other chunks of time that we call days, to enable us to rest, to not do what we normally would do on those other 6 days. It's when we say we take something and set it apart, show it to be different, distinguish it between, that's the definition to what holy means. Set apart, different, distinct. And so we are taking time and making time holy by taking a chunk of time we call a day and setting it apart from the other 6 days, enabling us to spend our thoughts, our leisure, whatever word you want to use, on more holy, set apart, different, distinct, holy, divinely related, to enable us to not establish, but to advance our spiritual life.
Well, it's interesting because in the article it finishes by saying leisure turns out to be an interior discipline. Now, see, I would agree with that.
How he uses it.
No. Let me tell you the way I think. I know of people, I see people all the time, that are afraid to be alone and to have nothing to do.
Right. I know people like that, too.
Okay. That is a sign of a person being self-alienated and not being able to access the interior discipline of leisure. Leisure is when you are able to stop and face, if I can say it, face God, face yourself, and enter into peace. There's a part, David, or Stuart, you guys can lead me because you guys are the Bible scholars. Where God says, they shall never enter into my rest. Do you remember that, David? The people in... don't be like the people in so-and-so, they disobeyed me. They shall never enter into my rest. Do you remember any of that, David?
Yeah, I think it's Hebrews chapter 4. Is where that's located. I mean, I'm trying to remember, there are a couple places where that kind of rest is mentioned in Hebrews. So I'd have to go back and look specifically there.
Yeah, but I remember, because I remember having a discussion in a theology class of what does it mean to be, enter into God's rest, and comparing God's rest to diversion, to excitement, to having fun. There's a difference. Why is it that we come home from vacation and we're exhausted? And the reason is not that we were having leisure, because leisure would bring you home to yourself. When you come home exhausted and need to just rest and be alone, that says to me that you use your, quote, leisure time for diversion. And listen to the word diversion. The word diversion means to come off track, divert something, okay? And even the word entertainment, to be held in between two things and never to land in one of them. That's where entertainment.
That's a very weird
development
of a word.
Well, entretener. Entre is between, and tener is to have. Okay, entretener means to have in between, and you never land. You're always moving. You're in between things, and so to me, leisure is when you learn to land somewhere, and you're okay. You know, I will never forget many years ago, almost 40 years ago, when I was first ordained to the priesthood. I had Thursday off. And every one of my friends was working on Thursday. And so I went to a coffee shop. And I stayed in the coffee shop reading for almost 3 hours. It was about It was about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. I had nowhere to go. And so I said, okay, I'll go to a movie. I'll never forget this. I walked outside and I got in my car. It was kind of like late summer, early fall. And as soon as I shut the door and I didn't know which movie I was going to see, I was looking at the paper. It wasn't internet in those days. I'm looking at the paper, and something inside of me just said, why are you running? Why are you running?
Mm-hmm.
And I was running from me. I was running from myself. And that day was the first day I entered into leisure, because I said, I'm not going to any show. I'm going to sit here in the car. And I sat in the car looking around at me for almost an hour and a half to 2 hours. And I'll never forget a crow landed in my hood.
I think there's one very important reason that the majority, vast majority, I think, of people in our culture today have completely lost the ability to do that.
Why? Internet.
Cell phone. Not just internet.
No, but I...
But explicitly the cell phone. They can't just sit and look. They have to have their heads buried in something.
Yeah, but
occupying their minds.
But I think this problem has been there before it's a cell phone.
I think it's made worse.
I think it's been around a lot longer than that.
But I think it's made a lot worse.
I don't doubt it.
People would at least talk at a table. Now you go to a restaurant, you see a family, and everybody in the family's got their nose buried in their cell phone.
Yes, I agree. It has made it worse.
Much worse.
It has made it worse. But I still think, there was an article called "We Are Entertaining Ourselves to Death," and we are self-alienated. They really are. I think we are afraid
to be alone with ourselves.
That's right. Now, David, why don't you reflect a little bit on what do you think is it that makes people afraid to be alone with themselves?
Yeah, I think part of it is that habit. Going back to the idea of discipline of leisure, I think it's part of our habit. For some people, their habit is they get up in the morning, they put on the coffee, they turn on the television, pick up their cell phone, that kind of thing. And so out of habit, you do certain things, right? Rather than, in a sense, disciplining yourself to be quiet, to be alone. You had to hear God on that day.
Yes.
Before you stopped and you sort of contemplated, what are you running from? And I think people are running from themselves. I think a part of what we as Protestants understand happened in the fall is that not only did we sin against God, but we have fractured our own selves.
That's right.
And we don't like the look of that. We don't like to look inside and see I'm pretty empty. I mean, my spiritual bank account is at zero.
Yeah, right? I think it's the recognition of the self emptiness that people run from, and they try to fill it with everything. Remember Saint Augustine was said, "You have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts cannot rest until they rest in you." And we have to rest right now from the radio program, and so let's go to a break. We'll be right back.
The Big 1070 is everywhere on TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com, and in Houston on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Most people who buy their own health insurance think that once they've chosen their Obamacare plan during open enrollment, they're stuck for the year. They think if they change, they'll be penalized or taxed, arrested, or something. Not true. You can change at any time. Reviewing health insurance options is like getting a root canal, but you can change and save big. If you're fairly healthy and don't need mandated coverage like maternity, you can save 30 to 60%. Couples under 65 are saving $500 to $1,000 a month with better coverage. You owe it to yourself to at least make the call. Educate yourself. Call Terry Bush at 866-566-3776. That's 866-566-3776. Or go to insurancesolutionsforyou.net. That's insurancesolutions, the number 4YOU.net. That's insurancesolutions, the number 4YOU.net. And they will customize a plan managed by you, not the government.
Learn to make money five ways with rental real estate. Double your money with apartments and get your map to financial freedom. And that map starts with a free workshop. Sign up now at lifestylesunlimited.com. Click on the Join Free Workshop tab and attend online or in person. That's lifestylesunlimited.com. Lifestylesunlimited.com. Again, that's lifestylesunlimited.com. Limited seating, unlimited potential.
The Big 1070 is everywhere on TuneIn.com, iHeartRadio, and Radio.com, and in Houston on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer. Dr. Sebastian Gorka sees more phony charges.
It is said that Lavrenti Beria, the founder of the KGB, his motto was, "Show me the man, and I will find you the crime." We have arrived at that point in America. President Trump solicited actions to guarantee that the 2020 elections were fair. That was his crime.
America First with Dr. Sebastian Gorka. Afternoons at 3 on AM 1070 and FM 103.3. The Answer.
Perfect.
Perfect.
When I find myself in times of trouble, Mother Mary comes to me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. And in my hour of darkness, she is standing right in front of me, speaking words of wisdom, let it be. Let it be, let it be, let it be. Whisper words of wisdom, let it be. And when the broken-hearted people living in the world agree, there will be an answer, let it be. For though they may be parted, there is still a chance that they will see. There will be an answer, let it be.
Welcome back to the show of faith.
Why is that? Why
Corey,
is that?
Perfect choice.
Yes, perfect. Perfect. Why is that such a good song for Corey to have played?
Because we're talking about the tensions of time and having to run, and the idea of let it be means you don't have to run. You don't have to chase. You don't have to be afraid of talking to yourself or being alone. Just let it be. Just let it be.
Yeah.
That's how I got it.
Let me interrupt, though, because I think sometimes there's some serious soul work that has to take place before you can, quote, let it be. I mean, when you start doing that serious soul work and you realize, God, you know, I am just in a relationship here that is destroying me. Or, you know, I am not satisfied with the job that I have. You know, I'm not following my vocation, as we've talked about it. I mean, there's all sorts of reasons. They say, well, I'm in a bad relationship, you know, with a friend, you know, not just with a girl or another guy, but with a friend, all of which I think sometimes serious soul work has to precede that let it be-ness, if you will.
But you can't get to that point. You can't do that serious work unless you can be with yourself. If your attentions are diverted to your cell phone, your job, whatever, and that's where the fear comes in. They're afraid to be with themselves. They're afraid to have conversations with themselves.
Yeah.
Listen.
Yeah, I think so.
Listen to this last paragraph on the article, because I think what we just said is what he's saying. Leisure turns out to be an interior discipline. It is not enough to simply choose a central life activity that is intrinsically leisurely. One must recognize the good of leisure and seek it out. Moreover, leisure might require sacrifice. That's exactly what David was saying. Moreover, leisure might permit more time with one's family. A less lucrative job might permit more time with a family. A less prestigious academic post might permit greater focus on studying and contemplative teaching. In other words, I think he's saying a lot of times what we are afraid of is that the very encounter with ourselves and with God may require change, may require sacrifice.
And I think, although I could be wrong, but I think something that happened really drove that idea home, and that's why you have so many people quitting their jobs to start a new business, to work for themselves. And I think that is a very strong lesson learned from COVID. When people couldn't go into work, and they were doing their work from home, and they were instantly, because you didn't have to spend time traveling, they had more time on their hands. And I think one of the major lessons of COVID is that people decided there were certain ways to spend their time that was a better expenditure of their time than others. And I think it's directly related to COVID, that 1 year and a half, let's say.
Listen to this. Leisure requires cultivation. Cultivation of habits and of communities that help us form habits. The pursuit of leisure requires this effort because we resist leisure.
Mm-hmm.
Augustine, St. Augustine, does not only desire social advancement before he became a bishop, he is afraid of leisure itself. What is Augustine afraid of? What is it in us that flees from leisure? It is simply speaking our own emptiness. St. John of the Cross describes the human soul as made up of great caverns constituted by our senses and their emptiness, constituted by their the necessary passivity, receptivity, and susceptibility. We seek out distractions in order to hide from this terrifying emptiness that can be filled only with God.
Distractions.
Yeah.
And I think that COVID led us to have fewer distractions because we weren't spending as much time commuting, we weren't spending much time on work.
But I think we got more into the phone.
I think we did, but I don't believe all of that was wasting time.
Okay. David, you want to jump in here?
No, I agree. I think COVID had a way of sort of recentering a lot of people.
Yep.
In certain ways, and causing them to appreciate more family, to appreciate more, and understand sort of who they were a little better, so that they did come out and say, you know, I'm not going to do this kind of work anymore. I'm going to do something else, because I find this to be unfulfilling for whatever reason.
Right.
And I think part of that COVID itself was kind of a discipline. We didn't choose it, of course. We didn't make it. It was kind of an externally applied discipline to us. But at the end of the day, a lot of people just sort of retreated, as Father Mario said, into phones and into, you know, scrolling the internet and watching video, you know, cat videos or whatever it was on the internet. I mean, they were entertaining themselves because they were trying to avoid really thinking about themselves, their lives, their future, their mortality. Teach us to number our days, right?
I think that's what I would recommend as we near the end of the show for our listeners. Spend some time alone. You know, stop running. Stop entertaining yourself to death. Because listen to the word distraction. Distraction. To get you off track. To not have to listen to yourself. Spend some time every day by yourself. Go for a walk, but don't take your phone. Don't listen to music.
Yes, I was going to say, go to a restaurant. Next time you go to a restaurant alone,
go by yourself.
Don't take your phone in with you. Just sit there without a phone.
Let
your mind wander. Let your thoughts go wherever they go.
Yeah, or go for a walk. I think the important thing is to be alone with yourself and to be alone with God. And slowly, what you're going to understand is you're going to reach the moment. I was going to say this, but I didn't get to say it, that when I was sitting in that car for that hour and a half,
mm-hmm.
I will never forget the crow that visited me. Because a crow, in about 30 minutes in, landed on the hood of my car and sat there for about 5 minutes looking at me. And I, inside the car, looking at that crow. And I've never forgotten that crow, because I was never more present to the present, to the crow, that's never forgotten, because I stopped running. That was the first time in my life that I literally was conscious of stop running and trying to distract myself. So, closing thoughts. We have a minute. David?
There's a version of Christian mindfulness, which is a spiritual discipline. There's a variety of things we could say about it, but it is the attempt, because we're so often very mindless in what we're doing. We're distracted. We're thinking about 30 things we've got to do before we get to work, so we forget to make the turn that we were going to make the turn. You know, so we get very off track, if you would, going back to your word distraction. And just learning to be mindful and be totally present, completely present where you are with the people whom you are with and the places that you are with, and taking in everything that you possibly can from that. There's a passage in Psalm 46:10 that said, "Be still and know that I am God."
Amen. Yes,
and I think that's amazing. It was a wonderful song by that same title, but it's the idea of stillness is a way of really moving closer to God. So anyway,
Stuart, we have 30 seconds.
Well, I basically said it when I was talking about going to a restaurant and not taking your phone and being within your own head, your own thoughts. That would be my final thought.
Yeah. Well, my final thought is to repeat what David just said. Be still and know that I am God. Boy, when you try to do that, remember that prayer is not talking to God. Prayer is being still and focusing that God is God and He's right there with you. Folks, it's been a pleasure to be with you this Sunday night. We miss
Rudy.
We don't know where he went. Anyway, see you next week. Bye.